There's no thank you for Chris Jericho. There's no round of applause for Chris Jericho. But that's okay, because I got my own thank you, because I'm the first AEW champion. What's your name? I don't care. Shut your mouth. Oh, the cops can't believe it. Paramedics? Huh? Where were you when I was bleeding to death? Standing around like a bunch of morons. All you guys can stand in the back of the line. All of you. I guess I'll just have to have my own celebration, won't I? Since nobody else seems to be here. That's fine. I'm an only child. I got no problem celebrating by myself. Look at this. Look at this. Look at that. Cheap salami. That's what Chris Jericho gets. Bunch of crap. Look, olives. Look at this. Look. This olives are nothing in there. What else we got? Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
It's time to take out the trash.
Bubbly.
Bubbly.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I get no kick from champagne.
Bubbly.
Bubbly.
Bubbly. Bubbly.
Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all.
A little bit of the bubbly.
That I get a bell.
Nobody can believe that Chris Jericho is the first AEW champion.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome, everyone, to the show that never ends. This is Turnbuckle Trash. I am Dave Denton, and this is the man who always likes a little bit of the bubbly. The bubbly, the bubbly. It's Christopher Evans. Hi, Chris.
It's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. The rain is coming down, but we are going to talk, and we're going to have some heat going on with professional wrestling.
Let's start in. You get that little bubbly going there every once in a while. Me would be a Diet Mountain Dew. I'm not sure about you. I don't do the champagne stuff. Oh, man, that's nasty stuff to me.
Well, after listening to every version of the bubbly, I think I'm going to stick off of the bubbly because I'm tired of hearing about the bubbly.
The bubbly.
But, man, it is just – it's caught on fire for just something that – just a couple of words. And now he's got his own T-shirt.
I was going to ask when the first T-shirt was going to come out. I haven't seen it yet.
I know it's coming out. I mean, it says a little bit of the bubbly, and he's got – it's got Jericho on the front of it with a – champagne bottle in his hand, and I think it's going to be good. I mean, come on now. Yeah, just a couple of words, and I mean, it caught on fire.
Yeah, the way he said it, I mean, you got to admit, when he comes off after winning the world championship at All Out, and he says, I'm going to have a little bit of the bubbly. It was just the way he said it. That's the reason it caught on.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I love about professional wrestling is sometimes just the little simplest thing can really lead to something. Austin 316 was the same way. It was something he just came up with out of the blue. And the next night, there were signs everywhere. Mr. Socko. Mr. Socko with Mick Foley. He just did it out of the blue. And then people were wearing sock puppets on their hands. That's one of the great things about professional wrestling is how they can just grab onto something very, very quickly. And by the way, before we get too far into this, I wanted to excuse our good friend, Zane Peterson, who is not going to be with us on this particular podcast. Zane has been, well, let's just say life has happened to Zane, right?
And
it's a good thing that life has happened. He's had a lot of work. He has a fairly new job that he's working in southern and central Utah. And he is really just loving this job, but they've been working him really, really hard. You know what that means, don't you? Overtime, baby.
Overtime, all that money.
And then he also had the opportunity with his family, with his beautiful wife and his cute, adorable little kid, they went on a cruise to Alaska. Doesn't that sound fun?
Really? Yes, it does.
That's one of my trips I would love to go on, but it probably will never happen. But Zane got to go to Alaska, and then I was just texting with him, seeing if he had time to do anything, and he's at work right now, and he said he couldn't, and he's preparing to go antelope hunting with his father this weekend. Ah.
Oh, well, congratulations, Zane. Enjoy your time, sir. We do miss you on the podcast, but family time is more important than anything because time is so precious these days. Zane, have a blast. Stay safe. Come back safe. And hope to see you on the next podcast. And I'm still waiting for that promo against me. Come on now. I had mine for you. I'm still waiting for the promo. I know you're building it up, son. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It probably. Yeah, you did. You cut the promo because you don't like a lot of the humor that has been going on with that. I call him Orange Julius, the Orange Cassidy guy, and then Gentleman Jervis. I'm not too thrilled about either one of those guys myself.
Well, like I said, they all can slide under a gas truck and taste their own blood for all I care. But that's here nor there.
Jeez. I'd rather taste a little bit of the bubbly myself. A little bit of the bubbly. But Zane, really, have a great time. I mean, family time is so important, and we know that you'll be back with us soon, and I'm sure he's going to have a million questions. So quickly, we want to once again congratulate the people at All Elite Wrestling, another great event. Mm-hmm. I could not pop down the $50 to watch the pay-per-view, so I just watched some of the highlights on YouTube, and it looked like it was a fantastic event. The ladder match with the Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks.
Show.
That was awesome.
That stole the show, basically. I didn't get to see it either. I got to see the highlights on YouTube just like you. AEW is really taking off like a bottle rocket. But I enjoy it. But you know what? Were you kind of disappointed that, I mean, Jericho did get the title, which he deserved it. He does deserve it. But like I said, Adam Page just don't. He just don't do anything for me. The Hangman don't do nothing. I mean, he doesn't bring in a crowd that I know of, and I barely know who this guy was.
Well, if you watched a lot of ROH over the last couple of years, you would know Adam Page a little bit better. He was a mainstay on ROH until this stuff started with the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club over in Japan. First TV show. We've talked about this, and we've talked about this. When they debut on TNT on October the 4th, I believe it is, there's going to be a lot of pressure on these guys to put out a good product.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, and then I'm a little concerned for them, but I'm also very excited because this is a little bit of an alternative to the WWE and all the fanboys out there that are always complaining about the WWE. And I guess you could say, I'm part of that because sometimes I do complain about the WWE, and I'm just stoked for Cody, the Young Bucks, Hangman, Chris Jericho, to see what they're going to be able to do with All Elite Wrestling. And they need to start building the stars right away. I mean, you've got Jericho, you've got Cody. You did have Jon Moxley, but he had to pull out because that horrible MRSA infection got back into his elbow. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but if he could come back, that would be great. So they do have some stars there, but they're going to have to build more stars, and they're going to have to do that right away to keep that audience involved for All Elite. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what their first TV show is going to be like. It's also going to be interesting what storylines they're going to have. All Elite, all I can say is, you've got wrestling fans and you got WWE fans. It's time for the wrestling fans to really watch wrestling and let the puppet show that's going on right now, just leave it alone for a little bit. And maybe it'll scare them and get both organizations, you know, the Monday Night Wars have started again, but it's only going to be Monday. And when they're on Wednesday,
I believe it's going to be on Wednesday.
Yeah. So we shall see.
Yeah. The WWE has made a move, a preemptive move, because they are now taking NXT and they're going to make it live every Wednesday night on the USA Network, airing at the same time as All Elite. Mm-hmm. I say that's why we have DVRs. You know,
oh, yeah.
I'm ready for that. I'm going to watch both. Chris, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
And I want your honest opinion on this. I'm a little concerned about the WWE with the move they're going to be making to the USA Network. And this is why. NXT has been putting out a really good product, especially their pay-per-views have been stellar over the last couple of years. I mean, they have had some killer pay-per-views when with their takeovers. So, is that pressure going to be so much on them, building storylines live 2 hours every week instead of recording about once a month and putting, you know, I think they record like 3 to 4 shows at a time so they can build storylines inside what's going on over that month period when they're not recording. Is that going to hurt that process of storyline building?
As long as Vince McMahon doesn't have his hand in the cookie jar, I don't see a problem with it. As long as Triple H is the one that's actually doing this, I say that it's not going to hurt them, but they're going to have to come up with storyline after storyline every, and that's going to be kind of difficult for NXT. Like you just said, they don't do very much live things except if it's pay-per-view. So I don't really know. I think they can do it. I think they'll be just fine. But I mean, even the 205 is gone now. It's going over to NXT.
Yeah.
So what I'm seeing is, okay, now that you got rid of the 205 and now the cruiserweights are coming over to NXT, now you've got a bigger market. But as long as Vince keeps his hand out of the cookie jar, I think they'll do just fine.
Yeah,
as long as he has no say in it.
Well, he's going to have a say in it. And you know, we had a podcast, I think 2 or 3 podcasts ago, where it said that Vince was going to be taking over NXT. But he kind of recanted. He says he's going to help with the first couple of episodes of NXT, and then he's going to go off and try to run his football program, the XFL. And I can understand that. I mean, he's got a lot of money invested into all this, as does his entire family.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the people that they have on NXT. The Forgotten Sons, great tag team. I hope they get a little bit more of a push. The Undisputed Era, are they incredible? Bobby Fish, Adam Cole, baby, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong. By the way, all four came to NXT from ROH.
Yes, it's kind of weird about ROH. I mean, everything that NXT is comes from ROH or TNA.
Yeah.
Or New Japan.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And then there's word that Tommaso Ciampa is getting ready to come back from his neck surgery. He's been tweeting out some stuff about getting ready. He had some training videos that he did with Sheamus. And I'm hoping Tommaso Ciampa comes back as mean and ugly and just like he was when he left. Because I've always been a Tommaso Ciampa fan. Johnny Gargano puts on a great show. He doesn't look at it. He looks like such a nice guy. But, boy, he gets in the ring, and he is a lot of fun to watch. So I think NXT is in pretty good shape. But I am concerned about having that pressure of putting on a quality show live every 2 weeks. That's a lot of stuff going on.
That's a load. But if anybody can do it, it's got to be Triple H. I mean, the man has basically, he's put his heart and soul into the WWE, and now he wants to really, outdo Vince. But let's face it, Vince will still be doing the WWE until he's put in the ground, or they'll take a Ouija board and figure out what storylines that he wants after he's passed away. Who knows?
Yeah. It's just going to be fun. Watching what's going to happen over the next couple months. This is going to be so much fun between now and WrestleMania, because we've got All Elite out there. They're going to be starting up. NXT is moving to the USA Network. We know that SmackDown is moving over to Fox. You still have Raw that's going to be on the USA Network. And you got the All Elite. You've got the NWA going to put on their own program. They're going to do their own TV. And the word this week that the parent company of Impact Wrestling has come to an agreement with Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and also a media mogul who owns it was it AXS TV, Access TV?
Access TV.
Yeah, Access TV, which I do not have on my cable system. I hope to get it soon. But now they're going to be moving the program Impact over to Access, which has a wider base, more sports-oriented. Plus, not only that, they've had a wrestling program on there before with New Japan. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be very fun to watch what these guys are going to do and how the ratings are going to be. And I hopefully they'll do – I hope they do well. I really do. I hope NXT does it, and I hope AEW comes in and, you know, starts shaking the foundation of the World Wrestling Entertainment.
Now, I think one of the things that that a lot of people have forgotten, and I'm just talking because of my job in the media, you know. I've told a million times, I work in radio in Utah. I've worked in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I've done some stuff in St. Louis. I've done some stuff all over the South. So it's not that I don't know what I'm talking about. But the media has changed so much over the last, I'm just talking 5 years, because you've got online streaming services. You have, not only do you have the online streaming services, you have so many different networks. So a program like, let me just say, Impact Wrestling, the former TNA, to be successful really doesn't have to have an absolutely huge audience.
Nope.
They have to have a good audience and maybe a big-time audience for Access TV. That's what is exciting to me, because it used to be during the Monday Night Wars, you were talking 14, 15 million people watching the programming. And now, because so many other things are out there and people compare it all the time, well, when the Monday Night Wars were going on, you had all these people watching. Well, there's so many different choices out there now, so the entertainment pool is kind of spread out. So having a million people watch a program is going to be decent ratings for a cable TV network. And that excites me, because that means that if they can say, well, we've got a good steady program that's got so many viewers every week and it's good and steady, advertisers will go to it. And after all, it's all about the money, baby. It might be about the bubbly, but it's about the green. You know what I'm talking about?
It's always about the money. I mean, that's what makes the world go round now is money. I mean,
yeah.
Money is the root of all evil. But right now, look at the publicity over just a couple, just like we just said a few minutes ago, over a couple of words. And already he's got shirts. He's got the internet blown up. He's gotten people doing songs about it. A little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly.
Just one little damn, excuse my language, one little thing. And then it goes like that. I'm sure that champagne sales have gone through the roof. Thanks, Chris Jericho. So, but I'm hoping and praying that that everyone comes out successful and everybody can have a fun time watching wrestling, and the fanboys can have fun. We can have fun. And then, Zane, stay out of the comment section, please.
Zane, we miss you, Zane.
We miss you, Zane, but stay out of the comment section.
Yeah,
Zane.
You know, he probably caught some fresh halibut, but do you think he will share with us? Do you think he will share that? I love halibut, man.
Halibut, how be thy name?
Oh,
halibut,
yeah.
Oh, lovely. If he gets a moose or an elk or something like that, send me some jerky, Zane.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's going antelope hunting. I've never had antelope, so I don't know. I've had elk. I've had deer, and I've had buffalo, but I haven't had. So I'm excited, Zane. That would be good. Some jerky. Have you ever had salmon jerky? Trout jerky.
Yes, I have. I've had a rattlesnake. I've had jackrabbit. I've had deer, and I've had ox. And the ox made me sick as a dog, but other than that, the rattlesnake was real good. I mean, I felt like I was throwing down a couple of beers afterwards, and I could get someone with a stunner.
I think you probably should have been throwing down some beers beforehand, throwing down a little bit of the bubbly. That'd have been
a little
more
bit
like
of the bubbly.
Yeah.
But speaking of the man,
Good
Lord, what in the world has Ric Flair gotten into now?
Woo! That there's a lot of stuff.
Okay, give me your take on it, and I'll give you mine.
Okay.
What do you really think this is all about?
Money.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of an ego. Ric Flair reportedly has threatened or is having legal action against the WWE, and the reason why is the term "the man," which, mm-hmm. of course, Ric Flair, you know, he would go around saying, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Mm-hmm. And now here comes Becky along, and she's been using that service, I am the man, being the man in the women's division. That's the number one. I mean, that's being the man doesn't necessarily mean gender. You know, that's what they're trying to say. Rick, with his lawsuit, is saying it's almost like a copyright infringement without him copywriting the term the man.
True.
So, to be honest with you, Rick, I love you, man. I do. I don't think you got a leg to stand on. I just don't.
To me, it's kind of selfish and childish, because somebody is getting so much hype over this the man stuff. And Rick, you are one of the greatest of all time. So I'll get that out there. You are one of the greatest of all time. And yes, you did catch the phrase, to be the man, you got to beat the man. But Becky wasn't using that slope. They didn't tell her to do that. She just came out with it one day. And she goes, I am the man. And it just caught on like wildfire.
Yeah.
So, Rick, if you win, what the hell do you get out of it? Are you going to get a certificate that says that you are registered as the man? What are you going to get out of it? What are you getting?
Yeah.
I mean, Rick, go away for a while. You're so into the news, and now you're burying other wrestlers about what they say about you. You're a 16-time world champion, and you're a 7-time world marrier. You've been married over 7 times. No woman can stand to be with you anymore. You've cheated death. You've kissed the Grim Reaper on the lips and gave him a pile driver and the figure four. You just won't go away, and how can I miss you if you don't go away? I mean, even Triple H stopped on social media with him on Twitter. I bet that really hurt.
Yeah.
But who cares? I mean, it's...
Well, there's also been, and once again, you're talking internet rumors. So,
yes.
You know, anything you read on the internet, you're gonna have to put more than a grain of salt with it, and drink a little bit of bubbly while you're going at it. But there's also been rumors that Rick owes somebody quite a bit of money, and whether that is a rumor or not, I just know that the world turns by the mean green, you know, and whether it's a money grab or whether he firmly, and I'm hoping this is it, I hope he firmly thinks that he's been wronged and not just needing money. That's what I hope.
Well, I know that when he was on death's door, his publicist or his manager stole money from him. He's going through a lawsuit right now with the former manager that stole a crap load of merchandise with his pictures and everything on it. And he is trying to sue this person. If it's true, and he's trying to do this, which he's gotten in contact with Becky, and he says, look, it's nothing against you. It's against the WWE because they're doing this. I'm not trying to ruin something. I just want, you know, my royalties out of this. So, yeah, it has to do with money.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if he wins? Does Becky stop being the man? Will they have to stop selling merchandise now if he wins this?
Yeah.
And he's going to kill the hottest woman in the business right now. It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid over one little word, the man.
Yeah.
Okay, Rick, that's fine.
And the reason I don't know if he has any real leg to stand on is because something that occurred yesterday that I reported on my radio show this morning. Remember a couple of weeks ago, LeBron James, the basketball, one of the greatest who ever played the game, was saying that he wanted to trademark the term Taco Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. Patent Office said, no, it's a common term. And then the Ohio State University wanted to kind of copyright the word "the" because people call it the Ohio State University, especially NFL players when they're being introduced. They say, "I'm from the Ohio State University." And they were trying to get that for their be copyrighted for their particular sports memorabilia and T-shirt sales. Patent office once again said, "You can't patent the word "the." And I'm just saying that the term "the man" is used so much that I just don't think there's much to go on legally. And I'm not anything of a legal expert. I'm just observer. You know, and that's the reason I said that right there, just to let everybody know that, you know, I might be dumb, but I'm also ignorant, you know? So.
Well, it's almost like what the Honky Tonk Man said about Hulk Hogan one time on his podcast, that Hulk Hogan was having a fit because somebody was using the word "brother."
Yeah.
Well, he called the patent office, and it doesn't say Terry Bollea or Hulk Hogan has this copyright. So you can say "brother, brother, brother" all you want. You don't have to pay him royalties.
Yeah.
So that's what you're getting at, and I understand, but I don't understand how old is Rick? He's in his 80s. Well, I thought he was a changed man, but after all the bull that's been going down with him, he hasn't changed a bit. But yeah. Rick, congratulations on trying to ruin someone's career, because you're becoming, yes, you are the greatest of all time, but right now you're looking like the greatest ass of all time. Mm. So stop it.
Yeah.
Stop.
Rick was born in 1949, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make him 70, 80? I can't. Yep. I gotta make. I gotta, you know, that's math. Ooh, math. I'm bored. Let's just say he's older than me, and I'm pretty old. So
I know you're not. You're still.
So
young
it would
at
be
heart,
70, but... actually. Yeah. Right. But the rest of the body is kind of falling apart. So
I know what that feels like.
Yeah, as you very well know.
Yes, amen. Pass the machine. Go ahead.
The NWA recently had an event, and I want to congratulate Royce Isaac and the former Bram. They were involved in a tag team championship with Villain Enterprises from ROH, Brody mm-hmm. King and PCO, and did win the NWA tag team championship. This Royce Isaac, he is so much fun to watch. Our friend the MK did is very good friends with Royce and MK. Please pass along the word. We congratulate him. I think he's a talent. And I think you're going to be seeing him in bigger promotions very, very soon. It's just.
And speaking of talent, you got to live out a dream that you finally got to meet the king. And we're not talking Elvis Presley.
Well, I would like to meet Elvis too, you know, but.
Okay, well, go. Well, that's going to. Mom would probably have a heart attack right now.
Yeah, she would.
But we understand that you got to see Jerry the King Lawler and got to talk to him.
Yes.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, FanX is a comic book convention. We can't call it Comic-Con because of the idiots at San Diego Comic-Con, and that's a different story. Let's just say I have a bad taste in my mouth for the San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
I give you the Bronx cheer. So when I was down in Salt Lake City to go see the Devotion Championship Wrestling, by the way, DCW rules. They're really good. And they have their own YouTube channel, and they're also on Stitcher now. Twitch TV. That's why. Twitch TV. They put on a great show. But I was down there for that event, and I found out that it had just been announced that at FanX they were going to have Jake the Snake Roberts and one Jerry the King Lawler were going to be there. Now, growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, as you know, in Tennessee, Jerry Lawler was the king. Before he became the king of wrestling, he was the king of Memphis. And I grew up watching Jerry Lawler. So when I found out, I told my wife, I said, we weren't planning to go to FanX, but now we have to go to FanX. I have got to meet Jerry the King Lawler. No matter what it cost, I'm going to meet Jerry Lawler. So we go down on Friday, the 6th of September, and we get there right when they open up the place, and we start just kind of looking around, trying to find Jerry's booth. And the place is huge. I mean, it's just huge. So if you don't know exactly where you're going, it's kind of hard to find specific booths until you get the lay of the land. Well, we're kind of looking around, trying to find another friend who had a booth there, and we're walking down a little row, and it wasn't Jerry Lawler that I saw. It was Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, my gosh.
there was a big picture of Vicky Guerrero, and as I looked over, I saw Vicky herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't know she was supposed to be here. So I looked at my wife, Teresa, and I said, I've got to meet Vicky Guerrero. I mean, I was a fan of Eddie. I was such a fan of her work when she was on SmackDown. And I went up and went to her booth, and I said, Vicky, I shook her hand. I said, I just wanted to say, man, I'm a fan. I'm a fanboy, and I'm just pleased to meet you. She was one of the most gracious women I have ever met in my life. She was so nice. And we talked for a few minutes, and I got some memorabilia from her. She signed a couple of pictures. She took pictures with me. She spoke to my wife so kindly. And I also asked her, I said, Vicky, I do a little podcast on professional wrestling. I would love to have you be a part of it. And she has agreed to be a part of our podcast in the near future.
Wonderful.
So I have the information, and I'm kind of waiting for some medical issues to be taken care of before I get in touch with her. That's on my part. But Vicky said that she recently completed her degree. I don't know exactly what degree she worked in. But she's also working with smaller promotions. I recently saw her on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And she's also doing some acting. So good for you, Vicky. And she just spoke so kindly of her days in the WWE. So that was part one. It was such a wonderful experience to meet Vicky. And I was wearing some pants that were my wife made for me that were with WWE fabric, and we're trying to find some more. Hopefully we can find some more of it, because if we do, then my wife's going to sew Vicky some pants and send it to her. So that would be awesome if we can find that fabric.
The story goes on, please. I want to hear this.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have some health issues that I'm dealing with right now.
Yes.
And just to tell everyone real quick, I'm going to have surgery on my wrist and my hand this next week on September the 18th. So that's going to be, that's going to put me out for a couple of days, and I'm preparing for that. And then when they were doing the testing for this, we found out I have some pretty severe neck nerve damage. So I'm also looking at some neck surgery in the near future, saying sometime this fall. So I was kind of tired. My neck was hurting. My wrist was hurting. My arm was hurting. My wife set me down, and she went off looking for Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
And I'm holding on to my cell phone. Because it's loud in there, and you can't hear anything like your phone ringing. And all of a sudden, I feel it vibrate, and I pick up the phone, and my wife says, "Get over here, Jerry's here." And he wasn't supposed to be at his booth until like 3 hours later, but he showed up early. So I hobbled over, and all of a sudden, I turn the corner, and there is one of my childhood heroes in professional wrestling, Jerry the King Lawler. Oh man, was I a happy
goosebumps.
Camper. It
goosebumps.
Really was. It was goosebumps. He was talking to a couple of individuals, so I kind of stood back a little bit and let him sign his autographs and make a little bit of that money. And then there was nobody there at the booth. So I went up and this is exactly what I said to Jerry Lawler. I said, "Jerry the King Lawler, I am a fan. I'm also a graduate of the class of 1975, Frazier High School. Yes, I am a Memphis guy." And his eyes brightened up, and he says, "You're from Memphis, Tennessee?" I said, "Graduated in 1975, Memphis, Tennessee, Frazier High School." And he says, "And you're still alive?"
He knows about Frazier.
He knows about Frazier High School. More about that in just a little bit.
Okay.
So we start talking, and I say, I just wanted to say that you've provided so much entertainment for me over the years, and I really do appreciate it. So now the comic book thing comes in. As we know, Jerry Lawler is an accomplished artist, and he is now doing the cover art for a series of comic books called Headlock. And these are independently published, and they have a new one coming out, I think they said in October, that I'm going to try to purchase. But I bought the first three first three comic books, and they're not the typical little thin comic books. These are more like little novels, little small novels, and Jerry autographed all three for me. And just wonderful cover art. So we talked about that. And then as we were just kind of talking, like I said, there was nobody else. So I was kind of monopolizing Jerry Lawler right there, just talking to people. And I said, yeah, I spent many a Monday night at the Mid-South Coliseum watching you wrestle. And then I told him about Bill Dundee being on our podcast. And I said to Jerry, I said, I tried to get in touch with the WWE to get permission to get an interview with you because you're on a Legends contract. He says, I'm not on a Legends contract.
Oh,
he says, I have the same contract I've always had with the WWE. I have not signed a Legends contract. So I said, you don't have to say yes, but I'd like you to consider in the future being on the podcast with us. He said, get in touch with him. If we can work it out, we'll have Jerry the King Lawler. I'm not going to promise on that one because hopefully we'll have him.
It would be awesome to have all. You've had Bill Dundee. You've had all these other wrestlers, but now you're, if it's possible, that'll put you on the map of having Jerry Lawler on this podcast. And I mean, having Bill Dundee was awesome, but having him on the podcast, that's going to set, I'm sure the views and all the listening will go up 50-fold.
Yeah, we hopefully will get that worked out. I'm going to wait until after I have my wrist surgery to get in touch with everybody. But I did also talk to the author of Headlocked. And once again, I'm going to wait until after I have my surgery next week. I'll contact him, get that interview all signed up for the author of Headlocked. This is a comic book. It's a storyline all about someone who wants to become a professional wrestler. And I'm really looking forward to reading it. So that was the excitement. But as they say, wait, there's more.
More?
As I'm talking to Jerry, we kind of, you know, hit it off a little bit. And he says, here, I want to show you something. And he takes me to the side and he says, here, I want you to see this. He had just been in the Mid-South Coliseum the week before as they're trying to decide whether they're going to tear it down or they're going to refurbish it a little bit. And he had wonderful pictures of the arena, some of the backstage stuff. And then he showed me one little picture that I said, that is so cool. It was of a hospital gurney.
Oh, really?
He said that was the gurney they took Andy Kaufman out in to put him in the ambulance from that famous match. He said that is that particular gurney. Wasn't that cool?
That is cool. But, I mean, it was, how long ago was he had his heart attack on? It was in September the 10th.
Yeah, that was what?
It's been, good Lord, 2007?
Yeah, I think so. And that just happened. Yeah, it was September the 10th. So, and Jerry looks in great condition. He's also engaged.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he's again. Getting married again.
Again?
Yeah. He's right up there with Ric Flair in the married department. So, he
but
said.
I know that you talked about the turtle, too. I bet he got a kick out of that.
Yeah, he couldn't remember the wrestler that was Cowabunga, as they called him.
Yep, Cowabunga.
And I told him about how I had taken you to the match, and we had sat right by where the stage was, and he started giggling. I said, I had told you, Christopher, that you know one of the wrestling matches was going to wind up on this stage, and it happened to be Cowabunga, the guy dressed up like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
It's a memory I'll never, ever forget. I mean, every time I see a picture of him, I just laugh and think about, if you didn't grab me, I'd have probably dove over and gave him a pile driver. But that was something I'll never forget right there.
To be honest with you, you were 9 or 10, I believe.
I think I was 9
9. Yeah, and you were so excited. I had to basically grab a hold of your shoulders and tell you to calm down.
I thought
you were going to stroke out at the age of 9, and your mama would have killed me.
That was the first professional wrestling match that I ever been to.
Yeah.
So I wish they turned Mid-South into a museum or something, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm hoping they do it. But it's been real crazy with professional wrestling, what's been going on lately, and with the WWE and AEW. And it's nuts right now. And now that we have a new producer in the WWE, Kurt Angle. He's become a producer now behind the scenes.
Oh, he is. I hadn't heard that. Yeah. So, but good for him. Yeah, he's a brilliant mind. Yeah.
Hey, my girlfriend said, yep, they're with the ratings.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do have some injuries. If you have time to talk about some injuries real quick.
Sure.
Remember just a few weeks ago, Ronda Rousey almost lost her middle finger, as I like to call it, the Steve Austin finger, in a mishap where a boat door fell on her during the filming of the Fox TV show called 911.
Yeah, I've heard different things. She said, the second thing that I heard is Ronda had a firearm in her hand, and the gun went off and it exploded and it got her finger. Now, I don't know whether that to be true or not.
Yeah.
I got the picture and I got the tweet, but that'll hold her off for a while. And now she's probably going to be playing She-Hulk in the next Marvel movie.
Yeah. I saw that and I'm going, I'm not a big She-Hulk fan, to be honest. I'm not a big Marvel comic book fan.
She's not built enough to be the She-Hulk.
That's what I was thinking. You know, I was wondering. But you know what they did with the Hulk? You know, they used the CGI to change it up a little bit. So
nothing will beat the original show with Lou Ferrigno.
No, it won't. But she did have surgery on that finger, and she's gotten mobility back into it. So, yeah.
Well, let's see. Samoa Joe is out.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, Samoa's out for about 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, that's
too
bad.
I think it's his leg, either the leg or his pectoral muscle was ripped in one of the matches he had for King of the Ring, and he's out.
Yeah.
He's going to be out for a while. Who else is injured?
Drew McIntyre has recently undergone some minor surgery. They decided to have him lose in the King of the Ring so he could have the surgery reportedly so they can do some build up to WrestleMania starting in October when he's expected to be back. You also have lost
Elias,
broken ankle for Elias. He's had surgery on that. And that's not a work, okay? That is the truth. And they've had to do some changing for this coming Sunday because of that for the King of the Ring, and Shane McMahon took on Chad Gable, and I thought a very entertaining match for the SmackDown version of that. Chad Gable will take on Baron Corbin, or as I like to call him, the constipated one, Baron Corbin. So
I hope they don't do what they're going to do. I really don't.
Yeah, I have no idea what. So that brings us up. That brings us up to what's going on with the Clash of Champions coming up on this Sunday, and the Clash of Champions is coming up on Sunday. Should be kind of fun. I'm liking some of the way they've built up some of the storyline, but they've had more weeks to build up to this storyline. I think they've had almost 6 weeks between pay-per-views now. So that's a good thing. Universal Championship, Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman. They are also going to be defending their tag team championship. I wish they weren't the tag champions, to be honest with you.
No, I really didn't like that. I thought it was dumb. Yeah, but I see an interference by one person. It will set up Hell in the Cell.
Who's that?
I see the Fiend. I really do. I think he's going to he's going to interfere somehow. The lights will go out. Then the music will start, and then he'll either take on Braun or he'll incapacitate Seth, and there'll be an interference, and then they'll have to set up the Hell in the Cell, the three-way match. I hope they do. I really do. I hope they do.
That Firefly Funhouse, I love. I will say I'm not thinking that's going to happen on that match.
Okay.
But I think you might see Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton being interrupted by The Fiend.
Okay, yeah.
That's true. Because there's been some tweets and some back and forth between Orton and Bray Wyatt already. It might be setting this up. Now, I'm going to say this because a lot of people have online been criticizing Kofi Kingston as the champion. And they're, you know, people say, oh, Randy Orton is going to win. This has been this has been a setup for a championship match that I have thoroughly enjoyed.
Of course.
With what happened 10 years ago between Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton, which was a great feud that put Kofi kind of at the top. And then there was that match where Kofi messed up and you saw Randy Orton in the ring, you can actually hear him going, "You're stupid, stupid, stupid," mm-hmm. because Kofi did mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're incorporating this into the build-up for this yep. Sunday's match.
I
don't like it. I love it. I think this is one of the best setups they've had to a match in a long, long, long time.
And those two can take – they can tear the house down, both Randy. Although Randy is still hurt – he is injured with his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And his time – it's almost his time to ride off into the sunset. I mean, mm-hmm. he's done everything in the WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a heck of a career. But I wouldn't mind seeing Randy one more time being a champion before he retires. But, no, those two right there, they're going to put on one heck of a show – Clash of Champions.
I think you're going to see some run-ins, not just The Fiend. I think you're going to see The Revival coming in. I think you'll see the guys from The New Day coming in. And I think mm-hmm. this is going to be a wild championship match. And
it will be.
I think that's the one I'm probably looking forward to the most myself. A couple of women's championship match. Bayley against Charlotte Flair. I think it's going to be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then also... you're going to have the Raw Women's Championship, Becky Lynch, against Sasha Banks. The recent heel change by Bayley, what do you think?
Loved it. I loved it. When she got the chair away and then she turned around and hit
Becky.
The man,
yeah.
I came out of my chair. I couldn't believe it. I was like, yes, finally they turned her heel.
It was nice.
Finally. But that blue hair. Lord.
Sasha Banks, and I think both of those matches are going to be fun. I just wouldn't be surprised if you saw run-ins both ways.
There'll be run-ins both ways. I think Charlotte will win, but I don't know. With all the stuff that's going on with Flair, she may get punished a little bit, which I think is a bunch of BS.
Yeah, it would be BS.
Yes, it would, but I think Charlotte will probably win, probably beat Bayley. The man, I think it's time for her to take the title off of her. And yeah, it's about time.
Yeah.
It needs to be.
And then
she's had it long enough.
Yeah. Then another one they've done a very good run up to. I've really enjoyed the run up to this next match, Roman Reigns mm-hmm. against Eric Rowan in a no DQ match. With all the stuff going, and there's been a lot of, once again, people have been criticizing this build up to this particular mm-hmm. match. And I've enjoyed it with Eric Rowan sitting in the background being manipulated by Daniel Bryan,
mm-hmm.
but it turns out to be Eric the whole time. And I think it was brilliant writing. I loved it. I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you.
I didn't either. I just have one question. Who was the guy when they took off the hood and it was supposed to look just like Rowan? It didn't look anything like him. It
looked like an older version of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he went back into a time machine and say, "Hey, you look like me. Come on over here."
You know, he looked like Ox Baker to me. I mean, Ox Baker's been dead for a long time. So
somebody said that online one time. It looked like Ox. And I was like, no, it can't be him. They dug him up. How the heck? But no, it's going to be a good match. I see that after Roman beats him, he'll go back to mid-card and he'll probably fade away into the sunset like Luke Harper. We never see him anymore either.
No, we're not going to see him before. Now, is it possible that they're using this as a precursor to turn Daniel Bryan back to a face? Because as a heel, I love him as a heel, but the people love him too. I mean, he still gets this huge pop when he comes out, even as a heel.
I think it's about time they turn Daniel face again, because he still hasn't made that announcement that he was supposed to make about a month ago,
uh-huh.
about his career. What could it be? He's not going to retire, is he? He shouldn't. He's okay right now. He's able to do this stuff, but we know who's going to win. It's going to be the baby face Roman, mm-hmm. the golden boy, but mm-hmm. We already know who's going to win that one. So, but it'd be funny if they have Rowan win. That would be amazing.
Well, you never know. You just never know. They might be setting up the next pay-per-view.
Well, with Eric Bischoff doing what he does, he's probably going to try to talk them and say, let's let Eric win.
Yeah.
Let's have something at a left field that they would never expect. So, and then Daniel comes down, hits hits Roman with a chair or something. You never know. It was all a plan. So.
And you know what? I like going into a pay-per-view with questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like going into a pay-per-view and saying, well, this is probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I like the possibility.
Or you can predict the whole card who's going to win.
Right. You also have, we won't get into a lot of this stuff because I want to ask you a quick question as soon as we get through with this part.
Okay.
United States Championship, AJ Styles, Cedric Alexander, should be decent match. They're both really good performers.
It will be.
Tag Championship, Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman against Ziggy, Dolph Ziggler, and the glorious one, not Bobby, Robert Roode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm liking that one, too. I think that's going to be a fun match.
It's going to be, and I hope they put the belts on both Roode and Zig. I think they will. They should be.
I think it's going to be fun.
It's been a while since Roode has had a title around his waist. And mm-hmm. I mean, he needs to be like a world champion right now. He don't need to be mid-card. He needs to be on top. But he looks like Ravishing Rick Roode, but an uglier version of him. So that mustache just throws me off every time I see it.
SmackDown Tag Championship, New Day versus The Revival. I mean, we're talking two tag teams that are professional tag teams. These guys know how to work together as tag teams, and that's a possibility to steal the show. I really think it. I would think it could be stealing the show. And then you have the women's tag match. I think it's going to be a fun one. Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross against Fire and Desire. Mandy Rose, a very attractive woman, but I'll tell you this. Her tag team partner, baby, she does something for me. Even though I know she plays for the other team, as they say, she is. She says she is a lesbian, but I think she is just gorgeous. I really do, and a great performer in the ring too. So.
Oh yeah, they both are. They both are. I don't know about that one. That's a split one. I don't know who would win that match.
I think Fire and Desire will. I really do. So.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so that's the card. Of course, we've got the King of the Ring championship in there, too, when you're going to have Baron Corbin against Chad Gable. I don't know.
Don't care.
I think with the injury to Elias, they're having to rewrite it as we speak. Don't be surprised. Something else happens that it's not going to be Chad Gable. You think what they did back in Money in the Bank when they had stupid Mr. Boring in the Bank with that stupid storyline they did, they might do something like that. Who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I want to ask you a question, and I think this has been on the mind of a lot of people, and this is going to kind of wrap up. I want to get your honest opinion here, because recently we have seen Stone Cold Steve Austin in the ring. We have been seeing Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, both at All Elite. And The Undertaker recently was there. A lot of people have been complaining that with bringing back the legends and having them do a move or two that is devastating to the younger guys, that they're putting the young guys down and not letting them develop their particular character or not putting them over. Maybe the older stars should come in and let the younger guys be put over a little bit. I want your opinion on that. Stone Cold, stunning AJ Styles.
I really don't know. We all knew what was going to happen when he had the beer in his hand and he's going to give a toast to AJ. We knew the stunner was coming. That's just a given. But I don't really like it anymore because the young talent, AJ's not a young talent. He's a legend. But right now, I don't like it because these guys, these new people, new wrestlers are trying to become top superstars, and you keep bringing in these legends and let them just wipe the floor with everybody. Okay, let's see. Undertaker, you've had three knee surgeries, shoulder surgeries, neck surgeries. I don't know. Austin, he can't wrestle no more, but he can still do the stunner.
Right.
Arn Anderson, he can barely walk some days, but yet you can do that what was that, Spine Buster, and he kind of botched that one at AEW. I'm sorry, that looked pathetic. But you got to remember, this man is, he's got to be in his 60s or something right there. But Arn's okay, but I don't like it anymore. Let the legends go away and let these new guys come in and start, you know, bringing the talent that they really have. I don't like it anymore. I wish they would stop. But the only way to really get ratings these days with the WWE is bring in the old people.
Yeah.
The legends that people will pop for as soon as their music hits.
I'm kind of ambivalent towards it. I like it, but I don't like it, to be honest with you. That's the politically correct answer, I guess, because I don't want to offend anyone. No, I can see why they do it, and I can understand why the crowd likes it. But sometimes I go, do they use it too much? And that's the only thing I'm saying. Do they do this a little bit too much? You were also telling me, speaking of some of the old guys, that you had some news about the Rock and Roll Express.
The Rock and Roll Express are finally, for the first time in their illustrious career, are going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. For the very first time, they're heading to Japan. I don't know what they're, I think they're just going to go for, I think it's Ring of Honor, I think. I really don't know. But that's another thing. The Rock and Roll Express, they started back in, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they're still going strong. I still don't see how one of them can see with that lazy eye that he has.
Uh-huh.
I still can't understand that. But even Shawn Michaels has the same thing. But I bet when he reads the menu, he has to put it off to his right.
Hey.
Are you going to make a left turn? That's all I can do. That's all I can see.
Hey, he's in NASCAR. What can we say? Waka waka. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, but they're going to go into the... into Japan. Hopefully they'll do real well. I don't know who they're going to be facing, but
so we've got a lot of stuff over the next couple of months that we're really going to be following very closely. And quickly want to remind everyone, not only can you get our podcast available on our website, that is turnbuckletrash.net, but we're also available on Castbox. So we really want to let people know, and I'm going to ask you and ask Zane, I'm going to ask all of our friends to also put it out that we're also available on CastBox. Once again, we want to wish Zane the best of luck with his upcoming antelope hunt, and I can't wait to hear stories about that and also his trip to Alaska. And Chris, we're glad that you're okay. We know that North Carolina was recently inundated with the hurricane, and South Carolina especially. And we're glad everything is going okay for you and your friends and family.
Yeah, we almost got deployed with the military unit that I'm with. We were on standby to go to Florida, to go to Georgia, but Hurricane Duran decided they wanted to go to another place. We weren't called out, but there is another storm coming right behind it, so we're still on standby as we speak. And if I go, I don't know how long I'll be out for, but I'm glad that nobody got hurt here in North Carolina. No one got really seriously hurt in South Carolina. We do know, understand about the Bahamas.
Yeah, we wish them the best. Yes.
Yeah, we wish them the best in the Bahamas. So, but that's just the way things are these days. I mean, we don't know from day to day what's going to happen.
That's right.
So,
thanks once again to Jerry Lawler. Also, thanks to Vicky Guerrero, and we will hopefully have them on our podcast soon. And Christopher, thank you so much, my friend.
And Zane, good luck to you. Have a fun with your family. And I'm still, like I said, I'm still looking for that. That promo against me, brother. We need to get it going. So we'll talk to y'all soon enough then.
And send us some jerky, Zane. Come on.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of
Ric Flair, he's got his own t-shirt.
Overtime, baby.
Are you going to get a certificate that says that you are registered as the man? And I'm still waiting for that promo against me. As long as Vince McMahon doesn't have his hand in the cookie jar.
Zane, we miss you, Zane.
We miss you, Zane, but stay out of the comments.
You know, I might be dumb, but I'm also ignorant. And your mama would kill me.
I bet when he reads the menu, he has to put it off to his right.
Hey, 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 hey.
Sorry.